Good day, Elise Castle.
Oh, how do you do, Mike Jensen?
How's it going today?
That's very Bridgerton of us.
Is it? I did watch that.
Except we won't do the other things they do in Bridgerton. Just yet.
Yeah, just yet. It's cold here in New York.
It is very cold, and Mike and I are in matching outfits right now, but we didn't plan to be.
Just sort of worked out that way in our matching tobs.
Yeah, maroon blouses, maroon t-shirts. So a little bit of butthole to start off with.
Okay. Right.
Our listeners came through this week. That episode was posted, and by 11 a.m., I knew exactly what was happening with Conrad's 1988. At first, I thought it was Conrad's. Because that's what we heard. That's what the subtitle said.
Right.
But after lots, and that's even what I posted on our Instagram because of an autocorrect mistake that someone sent. But indeed, it was Conrad's, which was a store that it's a store from London, a furniture designer that was in New York for a long time. And they had a location on 59th Street. And Tom was like, I don't know how you missed that. Like we used to, when we would go home to Astoria from Manhattan, we would pass it every single time. And I said, well, two things. I was trying to not barf because I'm always carsick. And I was just always looking at like the townhouse bar and seeing like who was going in there, which is a gay bar with carpeting, if anyone was wondering. Conrad's. So thank you to everyone who reached out, and I'm assuming Carrie bought it in 1988. However, a listener came through even more so and found a lamp extremely similar to it on the current Conrad's page. So I don't think there are any more locations in the United States. And the second butthole that I have, you may have more. So Katie reached out to us in regards to the bracelet that Seema ties onto Carrie's wrist in the car on the way home from her family's Diwali celebration. Katie also reached out to tell us about the Conrad stuff, so she is on top of it. So her husband is Hindu. The red band usually tied to the wrist at the end of puja or prayers, and it's a blessing. Although, usually, a woman gets it tied to the left hand and the man to the right hand, so I'm surprised, this is all what Katie has said, they got that wrong, especially with the actress being Indian. She tied it to Carrie's right wrist. You're meant to leave it on as long as you can. So, there you go.
Good to know. Thank you. I really wanted that information, so
yeah,
I appreciate
it. Yeah, and she said that hers is still on, although very faded from Diwali in November.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so thank you.
Well, thanks for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're here today to discuss Sex and the Widow. This originally debuted January 13th, 2022. It was directed by Anu Valia. They've directed episodes of The Other Two and Shrill and Never Have I Ever, three shows that I love.
We love The Other Two.
Yes, so good. Written by Julie Rottenberg and Lisa Zeritsky. And we start out with a montage to Spring is Here. We kind of like go through winter and into spring.
And something interesting. So, you know, we've said this before, but we're currently covering a show that is currently on air. So all the information that's coming out is really cool to see. And especially there's Instagram accounts about the show from the people that are creating the show. And the set designers were posting a lot of this on the soundstage because this exact image was from a soundstage to recreate some of the other stuff. So they showed like the flat, I guess, of the window front and how they went through. And there was some CGI that wasn't used. And I also found out through an article from Architectural Digest with the set designers that a lot of Carrie's stuff was actually Sarah Jessica Parker's. Like when the show ended, Sex and the City, Sarah Jessica Parker took a lot of Carrie's stuff and put it in storage. So they've taken a lot of that out and have used it in the show.
Gotcha. Yeah, so we end up with Carrie's editor, I'm assuming. This is Amanda, played by Ashley Atkinson. And I actually just wrote, she's done so much that I didn't write anything. She's done so much theater and film and television.
Yeah, she's done a lot. And she's not her therapist. Last week, I thought that Carrie, I was like, I saw the next week on and it's Carrie with a therapist.
Oh, gotcha.
And this is not her therapist. This is her editor. Yeah. And we are very quickly, we find out through that montage, we are now in spring.
Right. And we have actual tear stains on the page.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how books work.
You read them.
So we're in the spring And Carrie's relieved that it's good, but they want to fast track it for the Christmas season, which seems like a long time from now.
So spring, like, when's the official first date of spring?
Well, this is a whole separate conversation now that okay. we can talk about, because okay, I'm a little confused on some of the timeline stuff. So I went back to the first episode mm-hmm. where it references Miranda starting her spring semester.
Okay.
Now, for the record, in general, spring semester starts in like January.
Okay.
Because it's going to take place over the spring. We're going to at some point reveal that we have now passed Valentine's Day a year later.
Mm-hmm.
So we're more than a year after when the series started.
I'm doing a lot
of hand and arm gestures. Yes. So it's been over a year since all of that happened. So we're also in the future. Like, these episodes are now taking place a few months from right now, if that makes any sense.
Right. Well, the only thing that I, you know, was a little bit taken aback by was that she refers to it as the Christmas season. And I was like, holiday season. Are only people who celebrate Christmas going to be reading this book?
Yeah, it was kind of strange. I actually, like, not to, like, be woke or whatever, but I do actually think that you would use the term holiday season.
No, I mean, this is like a comedy concert thing. It's not even that. It was more along the lines of, like, I very rarely ever say, like, the Christmas season. I'll either say, like, I usually say holiday season, like most people, especially, yeah, in New York. So anyway, I don't think that it would be too far forward, because this is a rough draft. It has to go to the editor. She has to add her message of hope. She has to do all these things. They have to approve cover art. They have to do final printings. You know, it takes a long time.
And, you know, we get into the fact that the book is kind of brutal, that she finally finds love and then he dies and it's a departure and, you know, he departed. And the editor's sort of afraid that her readers will pitch themselves out of the window clutching their tubs of Haagen-Dazs.
Right, because no one can read a sad story.
Right, and can you give them a sense of hope is kind of where we go. Like, are you planning on dating again? And I do like that it goes quickly from, like, are you planning on dating again to, like, it'd be great if that could happen next week.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like this person to sit down with Adele and be like, you're doing fine.
Right.
You know, Adele's not giving us messages of hope at the end of her albums.
Yeah, and it could even be like half a page. I don't know. I actually totally get what the editor is saying. Like, I get wanting to, like, end on a message of hope.
Basically, she says that, you know, you need to have a message of hope, and goes from, you can go on a, have you ever thought of dating, to go on a date now.
Yeah. And then we get to Charlotte arriving at tennis, and I guess that Carrie has agreed to be an auction item. I guess we'll get more to that when we get to it. And they sort of reference some killer tennis opponents, and we can beat these bitches.
Well, and I thought about the auction item thing. This is something that only happens in TV shows. Like, there was that whole thing in the 90s where it would be like, Zach Morris is a contestant in the date auction. There are all these date auctions in TV shows. I've never actually seen a date auction, and that sounds also like the most terrifying thing in the entire world.
Yeah, it feels really weird on both sides. Like, I can't imagine
auctioning.
Like, there are people that I would greatly like to have a lunch or dinner with, but I wouldn't want to, like, pay them to do
right.
it, because that would feel very awkward.
Yeah.
And in fact, it does get very awkward, but that's a little bit later. We get right into an Eye of the Tiger sports sequence.
And I would wear goggles, too. LTW. When I was thinking that, I was like, yeah, that looks like a safe choice. Yeah.
So we get to a farmer's market, I'm guessing in Brooklyn.
Yes. Yeah, so at first I was like, oh, it's a Union Square farmer's market, but it's not. It's actually a farmer's market in Greenpoint, and it takes place in McGlorick Park.
And I guess Steve's just an idiot.
Well, here's my thing about this whole thing, because, you know, a lot of people are saying right now, like, it's awful what they're doing to Steve and what they're in, like, Steve's behavior and blah, blah, blah. I don't necessarily think that it's much different from the old Steve. It's just everyone around him has kind of grown up.
I guess so. Yeah, I don't know. I have a hard time with it. I'm sure that I wrote it down somewhere later on. You know, I have definitely had conversations with people who say that this entire series is like an affront to Sex and the City, that it's like a betrayal of everything that we once had. I do not feel that way. That is a very extreme opinion. But I do sort of feel like it's a little bit of a betrayal of Steve. And maybe you're right. Maybe it's just that he's the same old kind of quirky Steve and everyone else has grown up. But this is the one storyline that I'm going to try to not, every time we get to it, go, I hate it.
Well, and I think too, like, at least for me, as someone who's always been Miranda Steve fan, like, loving them together, I think watching her fall out of love with him is heartbreaking. And it's like, Steve, why can't you just do, because what's actually happening, I think, is Miranda has, her eyes have been opened, you know, to Che and Rambo, and Now, like, there's nothing Steve could do that would be good enough.
Yeah, I guess that I sort of feel the same way. And you put that, I like how you put that, though I don't like it, that she's falling out of love with him. And I guess that is a thing that can just happen. And that,
yeah.
I don't know, that makes me sad.
Yeah, and it's like everyone's mad because they're making Steve look bad. But I don't necessarily think, I think that if Steve acted the way Steve did and Miranda was like behaving in a way where she's like, oh, that's my Steve, but I love him because that's Steve, the same way Harry and Charlotte kind of do with each other, we would be different. But it's just that Miranda's no longer into it.
Yeah.
I mean, he's lost his hearing, but they also said that that's based on David Eigenberg's experience with losing his hearing. Yeah. Like, that's just aging, too. So.
And Miranda wants to know what the green tomatoes are called. I think they're just called tomatoes. And Naya is there and never wanted Miranda and her husband to meet.
Yeah, I love that. And I also love that, like, when he goes to find the good cheese and they kiss, Miranda said something like, I would stream you guys. And I'm like, you want to watch them, perv.
Yeah, Miranda would stream them. He knows the Chucky story and goes off to get ahead of a cheese shortage. And yeah, and I think that we have the I would stream you just so that Naya can say that it would be a drama because she got her period this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that there's something about telling someone you don't know well a detail of your life that you haven't told people that you know well, that is very normal, especially if that person knows this one aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one thing that Miranda knows about Naya is that they're trying to get pregnant. And I feel like Naya's probably had this in the back of her mind and has been like, I can tell you. Like, you're a safe person to say this to.
I mean, think of the shit that we tell each other at work, right? Like, these people that, like, I'm at the computer with know so much about my life.
Yeah. And Steve arrives. Well, first of all, okay, so Naya also says that she's done with all of this, which I think is an interesting thing that she doesn't really go any further in, because then Steve arrives and is glad to meet Naya because Naya's the only person that intimidates Miranda.
Hey, this place is bullshit.
Yeah, and he's lost his wallet somewhere. I don't know.
Yeah, he's lost his wallet by the pickle guy.
It's so Steve. And Andre got the last of the Bloomsday.
Mm.
Okay. And Carrie is back at her publisher, and Amanda's having her fourth cappuccino. And she's worried about the book cover proposals.
Well, right. And I also was like, this is a very bustling literary office. I don't know how literary offices run, but this one is, like, packed. And, you know, you and I have never had traditional office jobs, but from what I hear from friends of mine that work in them, like, in this day and age, this is not uncommon for offices to have these kitchens, because she makes the comment, like, do you want a cappuccino? They're free.
Yeah.
And I've always wanted to work somewhere that, like, has the kitchen with all the snacks, and you can kind of take whatever you want. It just looks fun.
Yeah, I had friends that have worked in, like, those WeWorks, and mm-hmm. a lot of times they have, like, hard cider and cappuccino and snacks and things like that. Yeah, it is fun. Let's go work there.
Cold brew on tap.
Oh, that sounds amazing. And yeah, so the book we find out is called Loved and Lost. And the covers are very dramatic. Like, the cover we see is very, like, stark.
But I like it.
I like it,
too. I thought
it
was pretty beautiful. And I like that the pink is in there.
Yeah. And Carrie wonders if maybe she needed to just write the book for herself. And Amanda disagrees with that and pitched to Oprah.
Which changes everything.
Does change it. Oprah often changes everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote, whoa, four ladies.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we've had, like, four individuals. I know that we've had someone sitting in. Did this strike you at all when the first image came?
Yes, I actually thought, like, okay, so Seema is, it seems that she is Samantha in this moment. And, you know, I had to be reminded once again that this has been over a year. It's actually only been probably like, it's, well, we find out later in the episode as far as timeline goes that it's been 3 months since Miranda texted Che, Rambo texted Che, and that was 3 months after that incident. So it's been 6 months post-op for Carrie's hip surgery.
Yeah, and that's a big deal. We've covered 6 months in, like, two episodes.
So basically all that to say that they've had 6 months to all really get to know Seema. This dinner is at Quality Bistro on 55th Street.
Which I have not been to.
No, they have a location called Quality Eats.
Yes.
By my apartment. We should go sometime.
Oh, all right. And Carrie's going on a date.
Mm-hmm.
We have a couple of mules being...
Yeah, I did take note of the drinks just because of Miranda's sobriety that we don't talk about. That was extremely easy for her. She just had to, like, stop making a Negroni, and she has had no problems with staying sober. So, yeah, Seema's drinking something in a wine glass. It's not wine. It looks like a mojito or probably a specialty cocktail. Carrie and Charlotte have mules, and Miranda has a bottle of sparkling water.
And I like that Charlotte brings up all the divorces at the school.
Mm-hmm.
And Carrie says that it's mandated by her editor and Oprah. And when Oprah mandates a mandate, what are you going to do?
Yeah, I like that line.
Date a man. Right? We got a little funny in there. And Charlotte says that she can meet men at the benefit, but Carrie wants it to be no one that anyone knows, which I get.
Mm-hmm, me too.
And Seema has already put her on some apps because no one buys real estate in the winter. And this is when I wrote, so we know that it's past Valentine's Day.
Yeah, okay. So this is what I have an issue with Seema doing this. Seema listed Carrie, and Carrie makes the joke like, you staged me. And it's past, she said she did it on Valentine's Day. We know that we're in spring, so technically it's been probably almost 2 months since Seema has listed Carrie. When was Seema going to tell Carrie, I've put your likeness on a dating app? And also, is Seema at home talking to these men, like catfishing them? It just seems... It seems a bit much.
Yeah, I think that it's just a matter of she put her picture and like some basic information just to like see if there was interest, which yes, I do think that it's a bit much. But I think that it's also to establish that like, hey, there's buzz. Like if someone put
right.
your, I'm not saying that anyone should do this, but if someone puts like an image up somewhere and then is like, people are really interested. And Michael Patrick King did talk about this, that it was the idea of like, if you're told people are interested, your inclination is, really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, who's interested? So I get it on that side. And we kind of talk about like glass chewers who are apparently good in bed.
No, I mean, I've had your picture up on dating sites for 3 months now, and there's little to no interest.
But it's just like Planet Out.
Yeah, I only put Mike on Manhunt and Planet Out. I put him on... and his name is Big Tool for You. And I put him on only sites that existed in the 90s. No, Mike, you would be
perfect.
A hot POA on these dating apps. And we need to get you on there. I am glad that Seema is single and also looking for someone doing this. Because I will tell you, as someone who is like in the dating world right now, nothing is worse and makes you feel crappier coupled people listening, take note, than your coupled friends taking your phone and being like, this is so much fun. This is so much fun. I love swiping through these. I wish I could do this. Oh my gosh, this is so much fun. Because it's not. And it feels like you're never going to find anyone. And it's daunting. The best thing you could do for your single friends is to set them up with someone. Same.
So Carrie says that there's going to be no sex for her, which kind of gets us to Miranda and Carrie near Radio City.
Mm-hmm.
They're crossing like West 54th.
Yes.
And no sex for you. And then Carrie just sort of says the thought of never having it again is strange, but the thought of having it with someone other than Big makes her sick to her stomach. Kind of had like the roller coaster metaphor of like it's not one of the nice roller coasters. It's that roller coaster that's dangerous. And Miranda would kill to get back on the roller coaster, which I feel like is sort of what you were just talking about.
Yeah.
In a way that one person's like nightmare is another person's like goal.
Right. And it's like, you know, it's all that thing where I understand. Yeah. We're all like even what Seema talks about at the end of that episode a few weeks ago when she makes the comment of like, you know, in a way, I don't feel bad for you because you got what you wanted, your great love. And like, yes, he passed away, but you found that. And that's what I'm looking for. And that's why I think when it comes to like matters of the heart, you just have to be a little bit sensitive to understand that like everyone, it's like that grass is always greener thing, you know?
Right. I was going to say that we all romanticize what we don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And we get into what's the lifespan of a text.
Right.
Which is Miranda asking about Che. And I almost don't know what to do with this storyline, so I apologize if I am brusque with it. But we're just sort of now establishing of like, I really want to see this person again. I don't know.
But
I don't
also
know.
We have
you talk
to,
some.
Yeah, so two things. When she was talking, Carrie was saying that her dating life was like a roller coaster, but one of those rickety old wooden ones. I really wanted to make a joke about my dating life being like a Gravitron. but I couldn't make it work. I workshopped it a few times, like in my head. But do you remember the Gravitron where it just like spun around really fast?
Oh yeah, I loved it. That'd be like my dating life is like the Gravitron. I'm just stuck in place and feeling kind of sick.
Yeah, but in reality, Carrie's dating life is like the Gravitron because they barf after. It's a whirlwind and then everyone vomits. But yeah, so here's something that I thought about with Che and Rambo. We have to remember that Miranda is a woman in her 50s who's navigating feelings she's never felt before for a non-binary person. And I'm assuming that Che, I'm not sure how old Che is supposed to be, but I'm going to guess like early 40s, late 30s, early 40s. I don't think Che is the same age as the ladies. And I also think that Che is more in the world of technology and messaging. And Che's been someone who's, you know, had sex with a lot of people and has already gone through this stuff. So I think Miranda's just sticking her toe in the water with Che and doesn't even understand really how DMs work. So I think we do have to also give, like, Miranda is in a marriage, has a child, is like questioning her sexuality, doesn't know what to do next as far as like this reaching out to this person goes. And Che's like, I like that person, but I do this a lot.
Yeah, I think the point is also made that Che rides all the rides. And I'm going to say this next sentence, and maybe it's not valid, but I just wrote, this also feels like the very human inclination to be important to the person that doesn't seem to find anyone particularly important.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like Che reminds me a lot of, if you ever watched The L Word, Shane. And did you ever watch it?
I did not.
So Shane was this character in The L Word that, like, everyone fell in love with, but like no one could really get to, right? Or like the Chuck Bass of Gossip Girl. And it's like, yeah, there is something to be said about falling for the unattainable.
Right.
And I think that's what Che is, maybe, but I think it's really hard because it's also what Miranda's always wanted.
And Miranda can't believe that she had the most transcendent sex of her life and it will never happen again. And we sort of get into, well, Big is actually dead and maybe Miranda's sex life is just in a coma. Mm. And then we cut to Harry making some midnight toast.
Yeah. The York Goldenblatts are a real toast family.
Yeah, I did notice that too. And he ran into Herbert Wexley on the subway. And Charlotte makes the point of like, does he ride the subway? And I was like, do either of them ride the subway? Like, I can't imagine Harry getting on the subway.
I think Harry would ride the subway because he's, I think, born and raised New York City. And sometimes it's just more convenient. Also, I don't know if you thought of this, but New Yorkers would say train for the most
part. It didn't bother me. I didn't bump up against it, but you are correct.
Yeah, like you would have said, oh, I ran into Herbert on the train.
Like, I almost never say I'm going to go to the sub. Right, you would just say the train. And we have some tennis talk, and we sort of get into, like, you know, I play tennis, and so does Herbert. And
yeah.
You can see Charlotte a little bit, not ignoring what he's saying, but you can see her a little bit reticent to jump right into, like, well, let's play tennis. Which I get. I think there are certain things that, like, are you and someone else's that you don't necessarily want to share with maybe the significant other in your life.
Yeah, like nachos at Hell's Kitchen.
There you go. Nachos before hoes. And yeah, he just sort of infers that he would like to play tennis, and we get to, like, hey, would you like to play tennis? And there we go.
That was a very Elise thing.
It was a little bit. And we get to Naya and Andre in the car and Cubana House, which isn't a place as far as I could tell.
And they're making a reservation on Open Table on their phone. And I only say this because my former roommate Kyle and I have plans tonight to get dinner, and I made us a reservation.
Oh.
And I sent him the link, and I was like,
so grown up.
Here you go. I know. And that's what he said. He's like, wow, we're making reservations for an Italian dinner on the Upper East Side. Our childhood selves would be so proud.
Yeah. And I will say that she has the line of, like, someone's on my tail. It doesn't go anywhere. I was very nervous in the moment. And we get a text from Miranda, who calls him AR, which I think is interesting.
Yeah, I thought that was strange. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like they're already on, like, a, hey, AR, it's Miranda here. And this is pretty funny. And it's based in reality that this really did happen to one of the writers, that she was communicating something to her husband that she didn't necessarily want the children to know. So she sent a text. But this exact same thing happened where they were in the car. And, of course, the text was read aloud to the children. on everyone. And yeah, and I like that we even have the heart emoji.
You know what this reminded me of? Mike and I are on a group text with our friends, and the group text is titled Three Emojis. Yes. And I think we've said this story before, but one time my friend, I cracked a joke, and if you're my friend, like, you're like, Elise, stop with that material. You've used it before. And my friend Tom once referred to my material as the old goat and pony show as opposed to dog and pony show, and we loved it so much that my group chat with some of my other friends is three emojis. And it is when Siri says there's a new text message, it says, Mike Jensen sent a text to goat, running horse, face with rolling eyes every single time. Because that's like the thing when I crack a bad joke, it's always like the emojis we send are the goat, the running horse, and the face with rolling eyes.
It's very, very good. And yeah, you told one of your students and we... I wrote red light, and then a lot happens here. Like, I actually couldn't write it all down.
Sorry, are you okay?
No, I'm not okay. You want to tell me why I'm learning this news from Stephen Hawking instead of my own wife?
Excuse me? Yes, hello. You might want to watch where you're going.
I'm really sorry.
It's a red light. I mean, open your eyes. That's a crosswalk.
Sir, she says she was sorry.
I have a toddler.
Okay, so you need to check yourself.
You need to check yourself.
Is he seriously coming for me?
I have a toddler! I have a toddler!
He has a toddler.
So I'm going to talk about this just because this actor, Philip Tarantula, who runs up and says, I think I'm pronouncing his name correctly.
Okay.
He runs up and says, like, I have a toddler, like this whole scene, which I love. And I was like, I know this guy. I know this guy. And how I know him is he is a New York actor who we have many mutual friends, and he has a character that he does on Instagram called Pam Goldberg. And Pam Goldberg is like this older Actors Equity member that lives in Manhattan Plaza apartments. And it is hilarious, these little sketches he does. So go over to his Instagram page and check them out. And I was like, oh my God, Pam Goldberg almost got hit by the car.
Yeah, he just sort of yells, I have a toddler, and I wrote, he kind of is a toddler. And then, yeah, she's sorry, and he says, you know, are you sorry that I learned it from a robot, or sorry that it's not happening? And she says both, which I think she means, but I think she really means that she, I don't know, I can't figure out exactly how much Naya really wants this to happen.
And I don't know if Naya can.
And I don't know that she does either.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. I think we're all on the same page.
For example, like, I don't necessarily know. And I know the clock is ticking, but I'm not 100% sure if I want children or not. I don't know. I'm not 100% sure. However, I have said that it would be very hard for me to date someone that was like, I absolutely know 100% that I do not want children.
I think it's a good thing to know about yourself.
Right.
So figure it out, Elise. I didn't mean it that way.
I'm very Naya.
Yeah, so we get to Carrie in her apartment looking through guys. We kind of settle on Peter.
Yeah.
It says he's 53. He's definitely not really.
And a widower.
Yeah, teacher and widower.
And so she swipes past him at first and then is like, you know what? I'm going to go back. For the record, she must have a paid account because on these apps, to go backwards, you usually have to pay. But also, I don't know what this app is because it's like not a swipe to see if you match app. It's like a swipe and then you press a button if you like them. But these are the people that have liked her. So
yeah.
Seema has invented a new app.
Yeah, so we get to tennis with the couples and we discuss Divorce Alley, which I guess is where the couples fight over tennis. And Harry gets knocked down.
And I have never really played tennis. Tennis is one of those like rich sports, I think, like where you like have to have money to play it. Like you can't just like go in the backyard and play tennis. But I think I would enjoy it. And I've actually been to the US Open and I've had very nice seats.
I had a brief moment in the mid 90s when I thought I wanted to get into tennis. And I don't know exactly what happened with that, but it never really worked itself out. I still get confused. Random fact, I saw King Richard last night, which is the Will Smith movie about the Serena and Venus Williams sisters. And there was a lot of tennis in that, obviously. And I was like, oh, I'm having a whole tennis moment here.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we should play tennis sometime.
But I don't really get it. It's like love and 15 and like the scores are like 15, 30, 40, 45. It's a little strange. I don't fully understand it.
Well, we should try it.
And yeah, afterwards, Charlotte is thrilled. And Harry feels like he's owed an apology. And I did write, you can say you're sorry even if something's an accident.
But we do find out later why she doesn't.
Right, we'll get to it. I don't 100% know whose side I'm on. We do kind of get into like some mansplaining.
Yeah, Charlotte knocked him over and Harry was mad about it, but Harry mansplains and, you know, I will not apologize for playing good tennis. You are driving me effing crazy. I liked this moment.
It gets very intense. Like, she thinks it's insane that he wants an apology. And yeah, we get to yelling on the sidewalk, which is never a good sign. Yeah, Lisa and Herbert are there.
Right. She's worried that LTW and Herbert are gonna think that they're the couple that yells on the street. Which is like, this is our first that we see like, oh, this is what this episode is about.
I have a partner.
I have a partner, too.
I think we have the same partner.
That's awkward.
It's not, because it's HelloFresh.
HelloFresh is America's number one meal kit. They deliver all the ingredients you need with the recipe cards and make it super simple so you can make super delicious recipes. They also deliver the pre-portioned ingredients so you're not overbuying, which is a burden on the planet and your wallet, and is super helpful when you have a mini fridge and a tiny Upper East Side studio.
Also, I love the variety. They have veggie varieties, they have calorie smart, they have family friendly, gourmet options. Honestly, the box arrived yesterday and I cooked something right away. I made the figgy balsamic pork with roasted carrots and thyme potatoes. And here's the thing. Anyone that knows me knows that I can get a little overwhelmed. And when I first opened the box, I will totally confess that I thought, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to make this kind of food. I just followed the instructions and it was perfect.
Yeah, and when I opened the box, I was expecting to just see ingredients rolling around, and that's not the case with HelloFresh. Each recipe is individually packaged to make it super simple. So you just open the bag and everything you need is right there. Go to HelloFresh.com/WCHBW16 and use code WCHBW16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. Once again, that's HelloFresh.com/WCHBW16 and use code WCHBW16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. And once you get your HelloFresh and make it, share a picture with us. Tag us on social media. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit.
And we get to Miranda and Steve in the kitchen, and he has a busboy calling out or whatever, and then Miranda has an idea.
Mm-hmm.
And what's come over you? It's been too long.
I thought nothing is hotter than post-Chinese busboy call out early evening sex.
Yeah, I did write, like, you can't recreate spontaneous moments, but I guess she's trying, and then Steve washes his hands. And I do have a friend who once had an experience where the gentleman did not wash his hands, and he had been handling jalapenos, and let's just say it didn't go well. Yeah, so washing your hands isn't a terrible thing.
I noticed it. Steve is washing his hands first, vagine hygiene.
And he's a little rusty, and is that right? It just is not great.
Yeah.
And this once again goes to, like, I don't know what's happened here. I don't know.
Well, Miranda's giving him, like, explicit instructions. However, I was waiting for her to be like, call me Rambo. But she didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he makes a comment that, I mean, he alludes to the fact that she's a little dry.
Yeah, should I go get some lube?
Yeah, and that kills the mood, and now he's going to repack the Chinese food with the giant hands.
Yep, we're back to chores.
He doesn't wash his hands after.
No, just before.
And I wrote Miranda made it awkward.
I don't know. Everything made it. I just don't know what to do with this. Like, I don't know what happened to them.
But this is back to my theory on the Steve and Miranda thing. Is like, Steve was all in to have like a spicy moment. I mean, he was worried the kids would come home, but he wasn't like, Miranda, I'm not going to do it. Like, he went to the sink, rolled up his sleeves and was ready to like do whatever. But Miranda is the one that's like, no, 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 do this thing that I've never had done to me before by anyone, right? Because she says that she's never felt that way before. So for all 6 seasons, Steve included, but also including every other person, Krispy Kreme guy, you know, like actor dude, like all that stuff. Just, I want you to be able to recreate that right now in this moment. And when you don't do it, I'm just going to call the whole thing off.
Yeah.
And then now Steve looks like someone who can't do anything, but like he can. Call me Steve.
So we get to Carrie in an alley going to Au Cheval. This is Cortland Alley in Tribeca. I was looking up this restaurant. It actually looks kind of nice. I don't know if I can eat anything there. A lot of burgers.
Yeah, I was going to say they're known for, and by known for, I've seen people on Instagram post a lot of their burgers. Their burgers look very good, and I'm not even a burger person.
And fries with egg on top? Interesting.
Mm-hmm. I would eat that. I mean, speaking of burger, this dude kind of gives me burger vibes.
Yeah, so we get to Peter. This is John Tenney. I know him mostly from The Closer. I had a huge crush on him.
He's very handsome.
Yeah. And I just want this to be okay.
Yeah.
Like, I just want it to go well.
Have you ever met someone off a dating app?
I have. I mean, it would have been legitimately maybe 20 years ago, but I remember meeting someone for coffee once in the West Village, and it didn't go anywhere.
Well, it is weird. I've done it quite a bit, and it is very strange because you know what they look like from their pictures. You've talked to them. There's been a few times where I FaceTime with the person first, but like for the most part, you're going into a space, you're hoping they're there first, and you're like, okay, do you look like your picture? Am I going to know who you are? You know? And you do. And starting the conversation is always a bit weird.
Yeah. I guess I should be clear that since I said it was about 20 years ago, it wasn't an app. It would have been like a Planet Out or something like that. So I...
The classifieds.
Had not spoken to the person. I was in the back of a magazine, probably. This is his first date since his wife died. And we have sort of the quick death talk that her husband had a heart attack. His wife had ovarian cancer. And I think we're going to need some drinks. Mm-hmm. I definitely thought like, not everyone gets to do that, to loosen up a conversation.
Right. I mean, I don't. I am sober and I date sober. And it definitely at first was kind of awkward. But I tell people right away. Like, I mean, there's actually an option now on Bumble to write like drinking, yes or no. And there is an option to write sober on there. Because I think like, for me at least, that lets people know like, oh, she doesn't drink. And it's not that she's just not into it. And most people don't read it. Anytime I've gone out with someone, they'll always say like, we should grab a drink. And I'll always say, just so you know, I'm sober. And before I would kind of like do more about it, but now I'm very open. So I'm like, just so you know, I'm sober. I've been sober for 10 years. Totally don't mind going to bars. I'll say something like, they usually have better food anyway. But I find that some people are taken aback when I don't order a drink, which no one has ever said, I don't think this would be a good match because of that. But I will say that dating would be a lot easier if I had like that social lubricant.
Yeah, I have tons of that and I still don't date. So yeah, we cut to very happy laughing and I was so thrilled. And then the thrill does not last long. And I will say that for one second, I thought he was having a heart attack.
Oh God. No, barf on barf on barf.
Yeah. And this was all practical. I guess they tried a thing of like hooking up a tube to the side of their face that would like expel whatever. And in the end, it was like, just put some stuff in our mouth and we'll just pretend to throw up. So mm-hmm. I do kind of want to know what happens next. There's one of those scenes that ends and then we're going to cut right to the benefit at the Arbor School. And I'm like, no, what happens right after that? Like, I want to see them get a cab or something.
Well, I'm assuming that he gets a cab or gets a car home. And I don't think Carrie was drunk. I think she only barfed because he barfed.
Yeah, that does make sense.
Because she also is able to talk about it later where he doesn't know what happened.
So we get to the benefit and Lisa doesn't know how to use a microphone. And it's funny because this is so real. Like, I've worked so many events where someone has the microphone and it's like at their waist.
Well, that's how I am sometimes on the podcast. You get really mad. Yeah. First of all, this is at the Museum of the City of New York.
Gotcha.
This event, that's where it takes place, which I've never been, but I want to go. And I understand she's not an entertainer, but she does like work in film. So I would think that she would know how to use a microphone.
Yeah, you don't hold microphones in film, though.
In documentaries, maybe.
Okay.
I don't know. I just feel like she would have more of a... Anyway.
I liked her giant crab necklace.
Oh, I didn't even notice it. That's very strange.
Yeah. And Carrie says there's no light at the end of the tunnel, only vomit. And Charlotte blames Oprah.
And Anthony says, I once shit myself on a date. And I like that we don't get any more explanation. I mean, we eventually do, but I kind of wished we didn't. Like, I kind of wish that was it. Yeah.
Because I wrote, somehow this doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I honestly thought it was like a bad bottoming accident. Sorry.
Yeah, Charlotte, they get interrupted by Harry, who needs help with the auction because they're bidding on stuff for their kids. And part of me is like, I don't know. I get benefits and I get, but like, don't you also pay a lot in tuition?
Yeah, they pay a lot in tuition and they also have a lot of money and they can write this all off on their taxes. And this is what you do. Come on, Mike, we've worked benefits for these schools before. We know how this works.
And then as Charlotte leaves, she does apologize to the girls. That'll come back in just a minute. Mm-hmm. But we first go back to the poo story,
which
we
find out happens
in seventh grade. Yeah. And then we have a quick like back at the auction where things aren't going great. And we sort of have a conversation about serendipity and a joke about it being really expensive.
Yeah. I mean, Mike and I have our own history with serendipity, which we've mentioned on this podcast before. But we're just going to bring it up again because now the third party we know listens. Serendipity is not a children's restaurant. And
it's not a children's restaurant. There's no kids menu.
It's whimsy. but it's not a children's restaurant. And a friend of ours was furious that it's not a children's restaurant and there is no children's menu. And the only thing to order for a child was a very expensive hamburger. However, I don't think that Serendipity itself is like $600 expensive.
No, yeah, I was a little confused by that comment. And then we get to Harry telling Charlotte the I'm sorry's just roll off her tongue. He's been counting how many I'm sorry's that she says. And I guess this is when we do get to her explanation as to why she's not going to apologize.
Right. Is that women say I'm sorry all the time. And then the tennis court is the time when she's not going to do it. And this reminds me of a tweet that our friend Katie had once. And it was a picture of an MTA bus that on the front of it just said sorry. Because it was supposed to be scrolling and say like, we are sorry for the inconvenience, but this bus will not be making all stops. But the screen was broken, so it just said sorry. And she wrote underneath, a lady bus. Just one of my favorite tweets she's done.
And then we get to Demi Lovato. Does Charlotte get a little British here?
I 100% was like, I'm not going to mention that because Mike's going to be like, I didn't hear that anyway.
I totally heard it.
But yeah, she really did like enunciate, which made me think that this was not a Kristen Davis moment, but a writer moment where she was like,
so as Demi Lovato would say, sorry, not sorry.
Yeah, it's interesting how she says it. It's funny, though.
But I'm sure Charlotte would know them because of Rock and
probably
Lily.
And Carrie's going to tell Amanda that there's no hope. And speaking of dead things,
I tried to revive my sex life with Steve the other day, and I'm afraid the patient is non-responsive.
So, no pulse?
No pulse at all. It was like two dead people trying to get it on, like zombie sex.
Yeah, over a bottle of Saratoga, which I only recognize because our restaurant serves Saratoga sparkling water. It's delicious. The bubbles are a bit aggressive.
Gotcha. Yeah, they don't need a therapist. They need the cast of The Walking Dead.
To do what?
I don't know. This didn't really make any sense. I get that it's a joke, but I was like, what?
Yeah.
And then we kind of like quickly cut to Che being introduced.
Right.
And I will say that people seem to know who they are.
Yeah, they know who they are. And Che has this power to like just make everyone think that they are the best comedian, the best person. Che has like a magnetic personality, which makes sense because if you at all are familiar with narcissists and empaths, narcissists have this quality. And I'm not saying anything bad about Sada Ramirez because I think that their portrayal of Che in this is great. I think that this character is doing a really great job of opening up Miranda to new things. I'm only saying this because there's been a lot of hate towards Sada themselves, which I think is absolutely ridiculous. I'm like, no. These are just people that want, like, are like, justice for Steve. But no,
right.
We're learning that's not what this is. So yeah, but I do think that Che has some narcissism.
For sure.
That's all.
Yeah. And Che kind of makes a, you know, I'll use her mic. She's not really using it anyways. It's like a funny little joke. And they've been asked to keep it clean, so it's going to be a short set. And then we just get to Miranda seeing Che and is off.
Yeah. Miranda is running to see her favorite performer of all time, Activate Rambo.
The funniest comedian ever.
Rambo must go. But I did think, like, why wouldn't Carrie say something?
I was surprised by that, too. I mean, we were just talking about
that. Right. Even in that moment on West 54th Street, like, why didn't she in that moment say, like, oh, by the way, you can ask her when we go to this thing.
Yeah.
You know, or that's one of those moments that like this was like a first selfish Carrie moment that I really noticed this season, like old Carrie coming through. Because you and I have had this experience before where, you know, with other friends where it's been like, hey, just so you know, so and so's gonna be there. Like, heads up.
Yeah, it seems like a weird thing for Carrie to have forgotten. And then we do have the cheese stands alone for the second time, that I guess for the first time in this series, but we did have that reference when Miranda confessed that she had a fantasy about a busboy who was rude to her. Just kind of stuck out to me.
Mm.
And Carrie sees Peter, who I think is complaining about the wine. Like, you can't really hear what he's saying, but he kind of like, I don't know, it's a weird, I'm like, what is Peter doing at the bar?
Well, I'm surprised their date was the night before. I didn't know that, because they both look pretty good for how much they had.
Yeah, and Anthony's not getting laid tonight because he doesn't sleep with cater waiters, but I was like, yeah, you do.
100%.
Yeah.
Can you follow him out and then come back and tell me when you're sure he's out of the building and gone?
You want me to off him too? What am I, Mossad?
My husband died.
You get one more of those.
But I'm wondering how many she's used And I'm not one, I'm at all saying, like, a moratorium on how long you're allowed to, like, mourn your dead husband. You get to do that for as long as you want to, like, for the rest of your life. And I'm not saying it's been over a year, get over it. But I did have that thought of, like, it has been a while. Once again, not saying get over it, not saying a year is enough time to, like, grieve someone. But this is where the timeline started to kind of mess with my head a little bit.
Well, it also may be a running, quote-unquote, joke with them.
Could be. Yeah, absolutely.
You know.
So Che's getting a lot of attention from two fans, mm-hmm. and Miranda tries to get their attention. It's a strange interaction.
Rambo is mesmerized.
Well, I also wrote, Che approaches Miranda, who is suddenly 13.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know what to do with this conversation. And I get that there are people who, like, push your buttons and who you react differently to. I don't know. They're both busy and it's all good. And ask for what you want. That's a turn on. So we're just going right back into, like, I don't know.
Well,
you talk.
So here's, I have a few thoughts about this. I do think she's acting like she's 13 when she's around Che. And I think that's because Miranda hasn't dated anyone in at least 17 years, right? Let alone ever dated someone who doesn't identify as male. And so I think that in this moment, she is like a 13-year-old. It's kind of like when you get sober, they say you start to act like the age you were when you stopped using or whatever. Like, that's where you stopped growing. So in a lot of ways, and I think she's just really nervous because she doesn't know what's happening here. And Miranda says, like, I DM'd you or whatever, and you didn't respond. To which Che responds, I've done a ton of weed. And this whole interaction between them with Miranda being like, I've DM'd you. I didn't know to send another DM. And Che's like, I've done a ton of weed. It reminded me of that meme where it's like they made AI listen to 150 Hallmark movies and then write a scene. It's like they made AI sit with like 150 people of 2022 and have them write a scene. Because, like, no one says, I've done a ton of weed. No one's like, I have DM'd you. What does that mean? You know?
I don't know. I guess the done a ton of weed, I've heard a few people that have said that that's silly. But one doesn't necessarily smoke weed anymore.
I guess so. Or, like, I do a lot of weed. I don't know. It was just, I can tell, I know that they don't want to make Che a drug user, like a heavy drug user. But weed is so fine now, like it's legal in New York City, like it's not something that you think badly of. And even later in the episode, it's just something where I'm like, I don't know if it would be an excuse for this.
Yeah, and Che wants to go someplace with Miranda and take off all of her clothes, but then Miranda's Uber is there. And how does that work? Isn't once you're Uber there, don't you get like points taken off if you reject the Uber once they've arrived?
Well, I'm assuming they just go in that Uber together wherever they're going.
But wouldn't the Uber be taking her to her home? Maybe she knows that Steve isn't there.
Yeah, and you can change the ride when you get there.
I don't use these at all, so I have no idea.
Yeah, Miranda's also probably able to cancel the Uber or change the, you know.
So Herbert has an early flight and has to go, and the drama club is singing three songs from Dear Evan Hansen.
I was trying to listen to see what they were, but I couldn't.
And maybe this is a glimpse into what Lisa's been saying about herself. She's been referring to her as being, like, sort of a difficult spouse, and in this moment there is that whole, like, I don't know why you care if people think you're bad. Why would you say that to me? You're saying I'm bad. He's like, I'm not saying that. Anyway, it's one of those conversations that when I hear couples have, I'm like,
well, I think she's just picking the fight and wants him to be there, and you know, in relationships, like, a lot of times the argument isn't what the argument's about.
Yeah, and, you know, a slight argument ensues, and Charlotte and Harry appear looking for the bathroom together.
Well, this whole scene was happening just so that Charlotte and Harry can see exactly what's happening with LTW and Herb, which is the same thing that LTW and Herb saw happen with Charlotte and Harry.
Yeah, because now they think we're that couple, and mm-hmm. how can I make it up to you? Which I guess involves Herbert taking over the auction.
Mm-hmm.
And Carrie's trying to leave, and now it's date with sex writer Carrie Bradshaw. And we're starting at $500.
Yeah, which is exact. It was supposed to be a lunch with relationship expert Carrie Bradshaw.
Yeah.
And I love that Charlotte just comes in at $700.
Well, first she tries to clarify, like, she comes in with, like, no, it's just a lunch.
Yeah.
And she's not a sex writer. And then Herbert brings Carrie up, and her and Charlotte's friendship is over. And no one can bid because they're all married. I think someone didn't think this through.
No, that these auctions will never work. But Charlotte immediately just comes in at $700. And then I was thinking, like, is Smith somewhere on, like, a secret phone? And he's just going to keep upping and, like, betting against Charlotte.
Yeah, and then she outbids herself at $800. And right. Carrie bids $1,000 just to, like, end it.
And then Peter steps forward and is like, $1,050.
Yep, Peter's there to outbid. Oh, then we find out, of course, that Anthony got a handjob from a cater waiter, which duh. And then Peter and Carrie are outside. And what are the odds? And he's a math teacher he probably knows. And it sort of said, like, we don't really have to go on the date, and Carrie's willing to cover the bid because clearly it was charity for all parties involved.
And I was wondering, because and this is just something, like, it was on my mind because I've watched the new Gossip Girl, and they are teachers that are teaching at a school probably similar to this, and they talk about how they don't make a lot of money as teachers. And so I thought, and I know that teachers are extremely underpaid in this country as it is, and I don't necessarily think that teachers at these schools are paid a ton more. And I'm wondering how he would have the money to just throw, you know, that much money back in the place where he works.
Yeah, my understanding is that private school teachers actually get paid less than public school teachers.
Right. It would be like you and I as waiters going to like a benefit for our restaurant and being like, you know what, I'm just going to give the restaurant all of this money.
Yeah. And, you know, basically he's impressed that she remembers the subject that he teaches because he doesn't know how he got home or if they paid for the drinks.
I wanted Carrie to be like, you barfed on me, but she didn't.
Well, I also feel like the idea that no one reached out, that he didn't like reach out on the app to be like, hey, I'm so sorry about that. But I guess maybe you just want to put it behind you.
Or it's one of those he didn't know and he was hoping it would eventually come to him and that maybe she would reach out first because he was embarrassed. And maybe he was like, I just have to get to this event tonight and then I'll text her tomorrow.
Yeah, could be.
But then he saw her at the event.
And they really should go on another date. So that sort of settled of like, they are going to see each other again. We cut to Miranda and Shay in bed and Miranda thinks that she's in love.
Yeah, a Rambo nip lick happening.
Yeah.
And this was the weed moment for me where Shay says, I'm just really good at sex and the weed doesn't hurt. And it's like, well, I don't necessarily know if weed is like ecstasy. Or if, you know what I mean? Like, I could see if they were on ecstasy or Molly or, like, one of those drugs that, like, makes you... Mom, I've never done ecstasy or Molly, and I'm being 100% honest with you. I just watch Euphoria. But those are drugs that I understand make you feel a lot of love for people. But, like, I don't think weed would be something that would... I don't know.
I don't know either, though. I mean, certainly one will have, like, a cocktail and have crazy sex. So maybe it's the same thing, but it just, like, loosens your inhibitions a little bit.
Like, right. Yeah. Like, people have said, I love you when they don't mean it after drinking right. too much.
Yeah, and I wrote that Shay believes that they are good at sex.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Carrie's home and gets a message looking forward to date number two with a puke emoji. I don't know how I felt about that. But I guess it's funny. I don't know.
Well, then they must have talked about it or something.
Maybe.
Because I didn't notice the puke emoji, so.
Oh, yeah. It's right there. Puke emoji. And Carrie goes to her computer as Billy Bossa Nova starts up.
Mm-hmm. By Billie Eilish.
Yeah. I think that's the name of the song is Billy Bossa Nova. Mm-hmm. And there's an abundance of writing utensils in that mug. I'm not sure that I've ever noticed it before, but there's a mug
pens.
Sitting next to the computer that has like 5,000 pens in it.
Yeah. A lot of pencils, a lot of pens. Yeah.
And just like that, I found a glimmer of hope. Mm-hmm. And there you go. It's funny. When I first watched this episode, I really loved it. Like, it was my favorite episode so far of the series. And then I went to take notes on it and I felt a little lost. I felt a little like, I don't even know what to say about it. And not that I don't enjoy it. I don't know. There's just a lot of, I guess what I couldn't help but wonder is in the last 6 months, Miranda was just so focused on Che that Miranda never had the thought of like, I'm having an affair now.
Yeah. And I guess before I say my thoughts on the episode, I couldn't help but wonder where Che's getting that weed. Like, I don't know what Che is getting, but it's apparently like nothing anyone's ever had before. But when I was watching this, there were moments when I thought like, okay, this is great. This is the old Sex and the City. And I think it was because Carrie was dating again, right? Like, we haven't had a moment on this show yet where we've seen people like out there dating. But I was wondering, like, maybe they did this thinking that there wouldn't be a second season because we've rushed through so much stuff and we haven't really gone back to it. And are we going to go back to it? Like, are we going to go back to, you know, Rock and figuring out, like, the situation with Rock and what they're going through? Are we going to talk about Miranda's alcoholism? Are we going to acknowledge the fact that Carrie had a hip surgery? Are we going to maybe find someone for Seema? Is Seema going to go out on dates? Are we going to ever hear again? And I know this was abrupt with Willie Garson's death, but like, are we ever going to touch on Stanford? You know, is Samantha going to text some more? I'm assuming that would be like more of a finale thing, but I guess there's just like a lot of little moments. Is Miranda ever going to tell Steve? Like, all of these things. And like, we know that Isaac Cole Powell, who was in Once on This Island, is going to be in the show and was announced very early on, but we have yet to meet them. So it's like, what is that going to bring to this? There's been some chitter chatter online that maybe Mr. Big has a secret child, and that could be Isaac Cole Powell. Like, are we ever going to find out more about Gloria? Are we going to see more with Natasha? There's so many things when I was watching this that I'm like, oh, all of, I feel like there were so many ideas and it all just got like shrunken down. It's like when you read a book and then you watch the movie. You're like, oh, you forgot this part. You forgot this part.
Yeah, we're definitely racing through storylines and we only have 3 episodes left.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I hope that, and maybe you know more about this with structures of TV series than I do. Is this something that shows will do when they're not sure if they're going to get a second season? And then they, once they do, they're like, you know what? Now we can talk about this more. We can get there more.
Well, I don't think, I mean, some of the things that you mentioned, I don't think need to be revisited. Like, I don't know that we ever need to mention that she had hip surgery, because I think that was just a thing that happened in her life. And
no, that one was dumb. Yeah.
And I also know that the hip surgery was just a way of having them have an episode where she like couldn't get out of bed, but they didn't want to replay that storyline they'd already done in the film where she couldn't get out of bed over Big. So that was sort of their twist on that storyline. I agree with you on the Miranda stuff, that I would at least like it mentioned, even if she just mentions like, I don't know, I guess I'm lucky. It wasn't that hard for me. I don't know like how you want to handle that storyline.
Or maybe she'll pick up a drink, right? Like maybe that's what's going to happen.
Right.
I could imagine her like things getting tough and her picking up a drink and then her realizing like, because that's the story for a lot of people. They're like, yeah, it's easy. I'm not going to do it. I don't need help from anyone. They quit drinking cold turkey. And then when they pick it up, you know, because it's not like it goes back to how it was in the beginning. It usually goes back to the way it was at the end. And then maybe that's when she's like, you know what? I need help.
And I am surprised we haven't had more of Gloria. And maybe we will have more of her coming up in the future. But I did think we were going to have some more big surprises. And I mean that, you know, as in big. Like, I will be surprised if we don't revisit that at all. I'm also surprised we've never had any more Susan Sharon.
Well, I think that was the funny part of it. It's just like she comes in and is like, I forgive you. Another thing that I thought about that I had read murmurs of is when we find out about Big's dog, right? And we see that picture and we don't really hear much about it. Could that have been, someone mentioned, like, could that have been Big's password for the computer?
Ah, interesting. Yeah.
And then in there is where she'll find the secret baby of Isaac Cole Powell. Who knows?
We'll be back next week with Bewitched, Bothered, and Bewildered.
Huh, which is a Cole Porter song.
There you go. All right. Next week. Bye. For more information, like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram at We Couldn't Help But Wonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBW Podcast. And don't forget to check out my new podcast with Vanya Arslanian, Mike and Vanya Can't Not. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at MikeJensen77. We would love if you would share this podcast with someone, put up a link or tell a friend, take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review there. Most importantly, stay safe, and let's all take care of each other. We'll be back next week with Bewitched, Bothered, and Bewildered. I'm sure that I'm sure that I wrote it down somewhere later on.
Oops, I fell. But yeah, and it ends with,
hey there, I'm Christy.
Oh, sorry, hold on.
Tiffany here with me today, and we are so stoked you're joining
us. What is happening? Someone's invading our podcast.
My phone fell over, and then my bar 3 workout started playing. It was a good one. If you guys do bar 3, I did the one with Krista Joy and Tiffany.
Nice.
The signature one. Oops.
Elise fell over. Elise is unstable.
Sorry.